Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Blues in Winnipeg.
Some kids have and some kids don't. Some
they took our measure.
Phoenix Copley.
We got pillow stacker problems.
Makes you say that.
Well, Copley played a good game and let in five.
Road trip continued.
Dave Peacock just with us in the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour. Alderman Scott Ogilvy is going to be in studio with us coming up here on the program and looking forward to getting his perspective. Curious what the audience thought. I've been getting a number of texts during the commercial break to my phone. And we welcome the audience to call in on what they heard from Dave Peacock regarding the MLS Stadium. 855-CUB-TALK. That's 855-282-8255. And that's the same number to text in your thoughts. Seamaster has entered sound from the Peacock interview for those of you who didn't get a chance to hear it. But we want to isolate on a couple for those who did get a chance to hear it. Here's Dave Peacock saying the alderman will realize that this is a good deal for the city upon inspection.
The deal we have in front of people is effectively leveraging this use tax increase that goes up automatically if the Metrolink, all the Metrolink tax goes up. It's not an incremental tax increase. It literally goes up concurrently when voters pass a sales tax increase. We're asking voters to allocate those funds if they want to Major League Soccer Stadium. That the bonding that would come from that, or the proceeds and bonding that would come from that, would come from the use tax. And if those funds fall short, there's really no risk to the city because they either shift into the second portion of financing, which is a sales tax reimbursement, which is just paying back some of the sales taxes over time. Or if both of those are exhausted, then it falls short. Effectively, we're taking the risk, and we're saying we don't want the city's general budget to be touched. It's both before this project, and if this project were to pass the voters after, the city's general fund would either be the same or go up. And that being the case, we can't see how this would be a direct impact on the city's credit rating. So we feel we've taken as much risk out of it as possible. We've had economic impact studies that suggest what we're asking for from public is less than the taxes generated by the project. So we feel good about it. That said, we recognize they need to read the full details. And we said that at the beginning of our presentation last Thursday, that this is an overview, but we expect and look forward to going through the document in detail and then discussing it.
Dave Peacock with us in the 7 o'clock hour.
He admitted that it wasn't the full proposal, so it's understandable that the aldermen didn't want to take a vote, as some have said, that be voting on something that they didn't have the full picture of. It was, to me, encouraging that he addressed, at least in his opinion, some of the worries of the risk that the city would put itself at financially. Now, maybe if the aldermen get a look at it, they would agree. I know there are other concerns, including Ogilvy said, down the road when the stadium needs massive upgrades and improvements, they're going to be on the hook for those too. That's a concern of theirs. But at least there's encouraging news that they feel they've addressed the risk that the city might be at.
Yeah. You would think that the Board of Aldermen, maybe today or tomorrow, would say, okay, send it to the voters. You would think that would be the reasonable thing to do, wouldn't you? It kind of takes them off the hook.
Unless they feel it's such a bad deal for the city that would be irresponsible for them. You know, if they look at it and it doesn't address the concerns they have of, a city that's financially on the brink, taking on the possibility of more debt,
right?
They'd be doing their job saying, no, the deal isn't where it needs to be.
If it's a horrible deal, yeah, but it doesn't sound like it's a horrible deal.
I don't know.
Sounds
enough,
like it's break even at best, or at worst, rather. You would think that they would say, all right, let's give it to the voters, see what they, and if the voters say, yeah, that's what we want, then everybody's off the hook, aren't they? And you got a big new stadium coming in. I don't know what the downside necessarily would be for the aldermen.
The problem is that you put up for a vote if you're an alderman, and I don't know all the details, but what if you get into another situation where there are issues that you're concerned about that haven't been addressed by this. And then it gets down the road, and all of a sudden, it's a huge financial burden on a city that can't take it. That's sort of on you. I think the aldermen, look, I know there's politics in there, you know, mixed in, and I'm not defending them. I'm just saying, generally speaking, if you're an alderman and you feel like this is not a deal that makes sense for the city, you know, you need to address these other things. I think that's them doing their job.
The fact that he said if the vote doesn't pass, then it's done was the biggest news. That's from the 618. I say this respectfully. That wasn't anything new. No. At least for me, it wasn't. Now, obviously, at least for one person here texting, and it was. But I was pretty clear that, you know, that the Don Garber had said this is a referendum on a city if the city doesn't vote for it. I just can't imagine the thing passing. I agree.
No, and it's unfair.
Absolutely shocked.
It's kind of unfair to put all that taxation on the city residents. It's such a small percentage of the city residents that make above average income. So there's a lot of them just sitting there waiting for that government assistance check to make it through the next day. How are they? Maybe those people don't vote. I don't know. But you would think
that's what some of the aldermen's complaints are, that, you know, county residents will come in and use this, and the city is going to pay the bill to at least to a certain extent. You know, Dave Peacock explained it pretty well, I thought, too, because to me, the solution, because I don't think it would pass either, Tim, if it was put up for a public vote, is for more investors. And as he laid it out, look, this is an investment that has a value of whatever he said, $150 million, that we're going to spend much more on to get it done. Well, it's hard to get investors or guys to throw in more money when the equation is that simple.
What frustrates me is the MLS insistence that it be downtown. I think if this whole project were going out in Maryland Heights or at the Chrysler plant location there in Fenton, and you had all the county, the more than a million county residents and money coming from the county instead of just the small city, I think you'd have a much better chance of getting it through. And I don't know why the MLS is in the business of caring about redevelopment in downtown St. Louis. Don't they just want to get in the market? Aren't you in the 21st market in the country if you just get a stadium close? Why the insistence on the city limits? I think it would be better if it was in the city because the city needs it, whereas the county doesn't really need it. The county would like it, don't need it. The city needs this type of development. But if we can't make it happen, you would think it would be in the best interest of the MLS just to get into the St. Louis market and add that market to its list of cities where they have teams and increase their television base.
It's a good question. The only thing I can think about is around the country, there are a lot of minor league soccer teams in counties and in residential areas. And maybe they look at that as sort of making themselves a non-major sport. When you're in the city, you know, if you're in a decent market downtown, you know, where they have their baseball stadium or, you know, in other cities, a football complex or what have you, that's more big time.
It's a bigger field.
Maybe that's why they're insistent. I don't know, but I think it's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know if all the other MLS stadiums are right downtown in these cities. It'd be something interesting to look up. But I think the thing would probably pass if you put it out in the county somewhere.
And that's where most of the people...
It's where the people with more money, that's where the soccer players and the soccer fans are. Yeah.
Doug, you're so lame. Uh-huh. Maryland Heights, maybe they could build it right next to the garbage dump. Guys, that's a garbage idea. Doug, that's from Jamie Moyer's Fancy Yep, Four.
There's a strong comment there.
Doug.
Yeah, there's no place in Maryland Heights.
Doug,
other than
every piece
dump.
Of open land in the county is next to a garbage dump. You know that.
Yeah. There's a lot of area out there by the Verizon Amphitheater. I mean,
any open lots near your house?
Not big enough, no. They could have put it where Crestwood Plaza was, I guess, if they thought about this a few years ago.
Would you donate your land?
My land wouldn't be big enough for a soccer
stadium. But maybe you get some neighbors together and everyone donates.
If they want to go a public domain on me and offer me a little bit more than what my house is worth, yes, you can. Yes, I'd make the deal. Of course I would.
I think you should offer it because you care about soccer.
Here is Dave Peacock in the 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by BP Credit Cards, explaining why more private money is not an option.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
The project pays for itself. But as far as how it's funded, is a use tax imposed on some businesses that are buying out of the goods from out of the city and using them in the city. and then fans that go to the events at the facility. And that's it. So if you live in the city and work somewhere that's not paying use tax, you're not being affected by this the way we've got it structured.
That's not really the...
Yeah, that was the wrong soundbite. Plowboy, do you have the one? It's why raising more private money is not an option.
All right, now hit the lever, Plowsy. He's lining it up, and there he hit it. All right, he's going to line it up.
He talks about the value of what the project would be.
Get it lined up
and
there.
And the cost to get
right
it.
Right now, the plan we have forward is with the current proposal on the table, we're putting $255 million in private investment into an asset, into a team that's effectively, if it were to be sold, and obviously it's theoretical, would be about $150 million. If you look at the Forbes valuations for similar size markets. So, you know, imagine buying a house somewhere that appraised at $150,000 for $255,000. That's effectively what we're doing. And we're taking on the maintenance, all the maintenance, you know, expansion, upkeep of the building for 30 years, all the operating risk, and then any potential cost overruns in construction. So we're already taking on as a group a lot of risk and putting out a lot of investment.
Dave Peacock explaining why more private money is not an option.
And it's not, if it gets through the Board of Aldermen and then it goes for public vote, it's not a real easy thing to explain to voters. You know, there's not a 10-second explanation that will take people's fears away that this is going to cost them an arm and a leg. So they'll face an uphill battle with that too, the PR campaign.
Guys, we should put the stadium in Jefferson County. I know a guy in House Springs that could fund it. It's hush-hush on where the money comes from, though. Thanks. That's from Painter Guy. Sounds like we have an option.
Yeah, that's what we need. What we want is options. That may be a little too far away from the population center.
It is kind of depressing that, all right, it's going to be an uphill battle to get this to be brought to a public vote. And we feel that if they had the public vote, it would be voted down anyway.
I think MLS liked downtown areas because their target demographic is younger, affluent people. That may not be the demographic St. Louis proper, but is for a lot of downtown cities. That's from the 636.
Yeah, I'm not so certain that that's their reasoning. Could be. I just think that they want to be considered a big-time major sport, and most of those are downtown, as opposed to the little community-based semi-pro soccer team next to the elementary school that there are around the country.
Yeah. Well, that must be their thinking, because if you're putting a stadium in the city of St. Louis, you're certainly not putting it next to the young, thriving professionals where they live. They just don't. Not where they live. Not many of them anyway. Not enough to support a soccer team. Or any
Where do the young professionals with money live in St. Louis? I would say it's Clayton.
Probably so. Yeah.
That's about it.
Central
though.
Corridor.
Central West End, Clayton. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's many living down there on Market Street.
I mean, I think a lot of people, I would imagine anyway, and perhaps I'm wrong on this, would picture the most or one of the most successful MLS franchises being in Seattle. And it's one of the reasons why the MLS goes after cities that just had one of its other teams go to another city. In the case of Seattle, the Sonics going to Oklahoma City and becoming the Thunder, and now they're pursuing San Diego with the Chargers situation in St. Louis. But the makeup of what Seattle is at this moment versus what St. Louis is at this moment are two totally different things. Doesn't mean I don't want to see it become more like Seattle, but you also can't just make it like Seattle. So therefore, I don't know if it makes sense from that standpoint. So I would be curious why the MLS is all in on downtown or nothing. Again, personally, I would like it, but I don't know if it is the thing that is going to actually, when it's all said and done, be one of the top reasons why it wouldn't get done.
Yeah. If it's not doable downtown, the MLS thinking is, well, then we don't want you at all. I don't know why that makes a lot of sense for them when they have a chance to get into a big market.
Guys, that provincialism is really working out well. Damn, I miss Joe Strauss. That's from Pony Danza. Not Tony Danza, Pony.
Pony Danza. Danza.
Right. There are a lot of us stuck in St. Charles, actually. Many of us fell in love with the area from going to Lindenwood and bought homes out here. Doug, that's just a fact that was sent in. Okay.
Just a little demographic nugget.
Sometimes it's like flipping over a baseball card. Mm-hmm. Oh, fun fact.
Where's the provincialism? I don't really understand that comment.
I think it's valid oftentimes. I don't really know what it had to do with there. Instance. Yeah, I don't know what it had to do with there. It's almost like a talking point that kind of rallies. It's like this generation or, you know, everybody's soft participation trophy and automatically. Like, yeah, that's right. Good. I don't know what it has to do with this particular discussion, but I like the talking point. Yeah, Mike, you're on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines.
Oh, hello, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're fine. You?
Hi, Mike.
Oh, good. Hey, Tim, you had a question where you were trying to figure out why MLS would want the stadium downtown compared to out in the county.
Yeah, we've been tossing that around, yep.
The thing is that MLS does not have stadiums in the county. Like Chicago, for example, where the Chicago Fire are, Toyota Stadium is roughly 30 minutes south of Chicago, and they barely draw 10,000 fans. To where you look at Sporting Kansas City, they were at Arrowhead drawing 7,000, and they went roughly 5 to 10 miles out to where Kansas Speedway is. Now they're drawing fans, but the thing is that you have to be in a city because that's what MLS requires. It's not necessarily, well, we want to be here. It's they want everybody to
Right, we know that. We were wondering why they would put that requirement in. If they want to be in St. Louis, that could kill it, so why would they insist on that?
Well, I think the thing is they insist on it because that way you've got everybody that can go downtown. Like downtown where you have three highways that go downtown. If you put it, say, in Fenton, where St. Louis FC is right now, you only have basically one, maybe two highways that are going there compared to downtown St. Louis, where you have three interstates that all go downtown and you're roughly 10 minutes from it.
Right. You're also talking a stadium with only 25,000 fans. You're not talking about a Rams crowd or a Cardinal crowd with double that.
It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Listen, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn with you on the program. We were joined by Dave Peacock in the BP Credit Card 7 o'clock hour, and it is our pleasure to welcome to the Gateway Buick GMC Studios the alderman of the 24th Ward of St. Louis, Scott Ogilvie. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. And thank you very much for driving out here. We appreciate that.
Well, it proves that Dave Peacock is a lot smarter than I am because he called in.
Where is the 24th Ward exactly? What is it?
Just south of Forest Park, Dogtown, Clifton Heights, nearby neighborhoods.
Oh, okay.
And you born and raised in that area? You moved there?
I was not, but I've been in and around that area since about 99.
All right. Very cool.
Can I just so we can put this in some sort of context, if you're a city alderman, it's not necessarily a full-time job. Am I correct about that? I saw what the salary is, and my guess would be that a lot of people do that out of trying to help the community as opposed to this is my full-time income.
It's my full-time job. It varies. It's about 50-50. You got to have the right other job in order to really make it work. You can have another job, yes.
So when we're talking about what happened the other day, first of all, I'm wondering your time frame when you started to hear your name was being put out there. You know, we had Steve Conway on, who was the chairman of the committee. How did you find out about it, and what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I think Steve came on Friday morning and said, you know, myself and some other people prevented a vote from happening, which I was surprised to hear because that's just 100% not true. A vote could have happened. In fact, Steve called for a vote, then looked around after talking for a few minutes, realized he didn't have the votes to pass the bill, and withdrew his motion to have a vote. So Steve prevented a vote, if you want to say that. However, the reality is a vote should not have happened on Thursday anyway, because we had only one bill of several bills that we need to pass in order to make this thing happen. And it's really, I would say it's reckless to expect a committee to vote on, you know, 25% of the plan when they haven't seen the other 75% of the plan. And there's no reason we couldn't have seen the rest of that much sooner. You know, I've been, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck, as they say. I've been on the board for 6 years now. And you see over and over again, members of the Board of Aldermen get the least information possible on most of these packages. And they get it at the last minute, and then they're expected to make an instant decision. And the reality is, St. Louis has made some bad decisions over the years. So I think it's really our job to especially listen to people who should know more about this than we do, people like the budget director, people like the comptroller, who are all saying, look, guys, slow down. I know that, you know, you can make a good pitch for a shiny new stadium that's attractive and appealing, but the reality is the city has major, city government has major financial and budget problems. And we're at a point where all of these things are trade-offs. So, you know, Dave Peacock rightly says if the use tax goes up, that tax increase, you know, basically covers what you'd call the city's portion of the stadium. But what he doesn't say is that money could also be used for something else. And, you know, we've spent 2 or 3 years now debating, complaining, worrying about the fact that we don't pay police officers enough. We don't have enough police officers. We've seen a major crime spike in the last couple of years. And residents of St. Louis know this stuff. And if you put on the ballot, do you want to take this roughly $3.6 to $4 million a year? Do you want to spend that on hiring, paying, training police officers? Or do you want to spend it on an MLS stadium? 90% of residents are going to say police. So that's the kind of trade-off we're looking at. The idea that there's, you know, as Conway said, no cost to the city is just false. I mean, there's no other word for it.
Couldn't you say that about any project, though, that we have bigger problems than this project with police? I mean, anytime someone tried to do anything, you could probably say, well, the bigger issue is crime, and we need to attack that first.
But when you're talking about revenue sources for the city, so you got to understand that it's not easy for the city to go out and just come up with a new revenue source. The state says, here are the taxes you can have. We've enacted most of those taxes. When you enact a new tax, you got to go to the voters and ask them to approve the new tax. So, you know, as was the budget director on Thursday said, look, we start every year now with a structural $20 million a year budget deficit. You close that in the budget process, but you close it by saying, look, here's positions we would like to fill that we can't fill. Here's investments we'd like to make just in basic stuff like, can we buy enough trash trucks to pick up the trash? We can't do that. So there are, it's a question of trade-offs and it's a question of priorities. It would be easy for a region to pay for this MLS facility. No problem. The region could do it. It's a big ask to have the city do it on its own.
And I know, because at least from what you wrote, you're not necessarily opposed to a new soccer stadium, but there's some things that you need to see. What are those things that you want to see that you would possibly green light a project like this?
Well, I think the big thing that we learned Friday when they actually introduced the other bills is that there's not going to be a tax on the tickets, which to me is just pure insanity. The team ownership is saying, we have this thing called the ticket tax, or they call it the amusement tax sometimes, a 5% tax on tickets. We could take that money that would be generated by that tax and use that to pay for a portion of the city's debt on the facility. But the team is saying, no, you can't levy that tax. That tax is a way to make users of the stadium pay. 85 to 90% of the users are going to be fans who do not live in the city of St. Louis. And that's a fair way to sort of spread the burden around the region, charge the fans a price. The fact that they don't want to do that, you know, says to me, we're making a big ask of the city and no ask of the rest of the region. Now, do fans care if they pay 5% for the tickets? I don't think they do care. I think if, you know, people want to attend a soccer game, they'll be happy to pay that tax, and we could use that revenue, which we would not otherwise have, to help pay down the debt on the stadium. But instead, they're saying, no, let's raise taxes on a large group of businesses in the city and make them pay for it rather than the fans themselves. And I think that's just the wrong approach.
Scott Ogilvie is our guest. He is in studio, the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. He is the 24th Ward Alderman of St. Louis and kind enough to drive out here and join us in St. Charles, where we are broadcasting from. And when you posted what you wrote on Friday night, early Saturday morning, Scott. That certainly gained traction on social media. And a few of the items that you cited outside of, you know, explaining what took place on Thursday and telling your side of the story to what Steve Conway said on our show on Friday morning, people see pay Paul McKee 50% of the tax revenue the stadium generates. Yes, as incredible and insane as it sounds, it's true. If you could, because I know 99% of our audience has no idea what this is all about or even perhaps who Paul McKee is, could you explain what that's about?
Right. So the proposed location of the stadium is within the Paul McKee Northside Tax Increment Financing District, which is a very large area that was approved initially in 2009 before I was on the Board of Aldermen. It's the biggest TIF district in the state by geography or by dollar figure. And because the footprint of the stadium is in that area, the city, in a way that I think was incredibly foolish and short-sighted, has authorized Paul McKee to collect basically 50% of new tax revenue that occurs within that footprint. Mm-hmm. So now it's possibly subject to negotiation, but nobody has really explained what that number is going to be. It could be 50% of the new tax revenue. SLDC, St. Louis Development Corporation, who would normally be in charge of figuring that out, did not testify last week as to what that actual figure would be. The Business Journal reported on it last month. They said, and SLDC at the time also said, we don't know what that figure is going to be. But the idea that we're going to enact a new tax on businesses to pay for the stadium, and then Paul McKee, who obviously has done nothing to, he doesn't own the property, he's done nothing to facilitate construction of the stadium, he has nothing to do with the team at all. Why is he getting new revenue from the site? I mean, if I can't go to my community and explain why Paul McKee is entitled to tax revenue for the stadium when my residents are paying a higher tax. I can't do that. So
does he have to use that money any certain way, or is it just his to keep?
In theory, it has to be spent on projects inside that district. But these things have a degree of complexity that, you know, very few people will actually be able to tell what ultimately happens with that money.
Hmm. So, listen to you talk. It sounds like you would vote no when this comes up again with the Board of Aldermen. Is that correct or no?
Look, all things being equal, I like soccer. I prefer to have a team in the region. But the proposal, as it actually stands, from the city's budget perspective, which I think that is my job. People elected have to make sure the city government can pay its bills and provide the basic services that people want and need. I don't think it's a very good proposal from that perspective. So unless something's changed, especially that ticket tax deal, then I'm likely to be a no.
Generally speaking, and it's crazy to say without the financial implications, but having a team, you know, the Rams just left, it seems like the city could use a shot in the arm. What would that do for the city outside? I mean, if you guys could figure out the financing and the city's obligation, what would that do to the city to have a team there and to have people coming to games? Wouldn't that sort of be a game changer for the city? Or do we,
no,
because we're
not,
sports,
I mean,
fans, yeah, we overblow that?
It gets overblown. I mean, I'm not saying there's no effect. It's an amenity. It's an attraction. People come. But I think we maybe forget that it's 17 games a year and it's, you know, 15 or 20,000 people a game. I mean, the city has helped facilitate the construction of the Dome, 94, Scott Trade / Savas, 92, you know, New Bush Stadium, 2006, Chaffetz Arena was built on SLU campus, 2006 or 7. We've helped, and a lot of sports facilities have been constructed. And there's a lot of sports activity happening. The addition of one MLS stadium, yes, it's a new attraction. It has appeal. But the phrase game changer, I think, is not something that actually applies to it.
Hey, Scott, one of the things that people, I also think, may not understand, and I would include myself in that category, so I'm not passing it off to the public, I take responsibility for this, is a lot of talk right now over the last few days, especially ever since Thursday's meeting, was just let the people vote. Why not just let the people vote?
If there's a that statement, just let the people vote, I think is fine if there is a good proposal in front of us. I think that when you have people who know the city's budget the best, like the budget director, saying this hurts our ability to pay our bills, then it's our job to say, hold on, can we fix that before we put it in front of voters? Mm-hmm. I don't think you just because somebody has introduced a bill or an idea, you don't just throw it on the ballot and say, let people decide on this. The first responsibility is to make sure it is a good idea. And there's also been these statements that, you know, Steve Conway said it costs us nothing. He said this on the show. He said it last week. Mr. Peacock said, like, there's no risk to the city. Those are not really accurate statements. What the city is doing here, we're borrowing $50 million on the front end, at least 50. No one is talking about interest. So it's just like a mortgage. We got a 30-year mortgage on this thing. We're actually going to make $95 to $100 million of payments over 30 years when you consider principal and interest. We know in 20 to 25 years, we're going to have to reinvest in the stadium, so to speak. Let's say that's another $50 million with Scott Trader.
And that would be on you and not the ownership group.
We own so it's similar to Scott Trade. City owns Scott Trade. The Blues manage the whole facility, the Blues ownership group. They keep it functional, but right now they're asking the city and state for another $140 million for upgrades. It's 22 years old. So you can expect the same type of thing will happen with this stadium. So I think just to have an honest debate about it, let's include all the costs to the city. It's likely to be more like $150, $160 million in direct payments the city would have to make for this stadium over 30 years. So it's like a home mortgage in that sense, but it's not like a home mortgage in the sense that at the end of that 30-year term, if I buy a home for $150,000 in 30 years, I'm going to be able to sell it for $250,000. I'm going to get all my principal back, cash in hand. You get to 30 years on any sports facility, any stadium, it has no value. There's no market for it. So it's not... The term frequently used is investment in these things. They're not investments. They're expenses and they're liabilities. So I think we just should, whether we build it or don't build it, I think we should use the right terms to describe what we're actually doing and the right numbers. And I think that number, a realistic projection of that number, is 150 to 160 million, not 50 million, which people keep saying.
And then people are trying to link this to the improvements at Scott Trade. I see people mentioning them in the same breath. They're two totally separate
issues. Totally separate things. I'm very sympathetic to the idea that Scott Trade needs improvements. The city has already built it and owns it. I have no doubt that we will pass a bill that starts to that spends money to make upgrades to Scott Trade. Scott Trade's a good facility. The Blues play there, but there's also 100 other events a year there. And we're not going to, let it rot, so to speak. The question on that one is just, what are those payments each year? And what are the sources of revenue to make those payments? But something will certainly pass sometime in 2017.
And you guys are close to the numbers that the Blues are asking? They're in the same ballpark?
What do you mean?
In terms of what they're asking for certain numbers, I saw them, for certain things to be done. You've obviously seen that. Do you guys feel like you're close to it anyway? There is room to make some sort of deal?
Oh, yeah. Something will get done there. It's a question right now of what is the number of that annual payment. They've said it should be one number, $4 million. I think some people are saying there's a way to make that a smaller number. So this goes back to some other statements about general revenue, right? People keep saying, oh, we're not taking anything out of general revenue. The use tax is general revenue. If you increase the use tax and then you spend it on the stadium, that's an expense out of general revenue. If we increase the use tax and don't spend it on the stadium, we know what that money will be spent on. We know what we spend the use tax revenue on now, and it's mostly public safety related items. So it is a hit to general revenue. It's a new revenue source, but it's also a new expense. It's not revenue neutral, as people keep trying to say. So those are the facts. And if this gets on the ballot, I think that the ownership group will run a campaign that paints the rosiest picture, which always happens, rather than what I think is a realistic picture of the actual expenses.
Would you be more inclined to be in favor of it if they just added this user tax on the tickets, if they just charged another couple bucks for the tickets and that tax money went to the city? Seems like a fairly easy fix.
Yeah, I think what would happen is that tax money would go to pay off the city's debt. But yes, I mean, that's clearly a tax that should be enacted. I mean, if we took no action and the stadium was built, that tax would be enacted. They're asking us to pass another law that says we don't levy that tax on tickets at an MLS stadium. Of course we should levy that tax. If we're gonna have the expenses of building a new stadium, we should tax the tickets and we should use that revenue to help pay off the debt and, you know, maintain the stadium. Now, that revenue will not be enough because it turns out this facility does not generate very much tax revenue. It's not that many dates, there's not that many people, and the tickets are not that expensive. So just that ticket tax is not gonna, you know, cover the whole debt payment, but it would be one component and it would be a revenue source that would help make this better financially for the city.
When do you guys meet again where you guys can take up, because obviously the no vote was taken, when will you guys meet as a committee and take up the new stadium issue?
Yeah, so those are I can't say, those are questions for the committee chair. They set those meetings at Steve Conway. Perhaps this week, perhaps not, but that's a question for him.
And do you feel like, you know, there's a timetable to get it on the ballot? Do you feel that ship has sailed? I think Dave Peacock pointed out that there are other ways to get this on the ballot.
Yeah, I don't know the actual last day deadline. We're already past the normal deadline. What they'd have to do now is the bill would have to get passed. They'd have to, the city would then have to go to a local judge and say, look, there are extenuating circumstances why this wasn't done in the time period that the state provides. So can we put it on the ballot anyway? I don't know what there is a absolute drop dead date. I'm not sure exactly what that date is, but it's coming up in a few weeks.
Scott Ogilvie is our guest right now in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you on the program. We welcome you to continue to text in. A lot of people, Scott, are giving you compliments in our text inbox here throughout the course of the interview and getting a chance to hear your perspective. Of course, also comes with that some criticism. I'm curious what the vibe is amongst your cohorts, amongst the aldermen on this thing overall. I mean, we're hearing about the board and the 4-4 situation that you had last week with what Steve Conway had to say, but overall and throughout the city.
So historically, most aldermen have been at pains to not cross the mayor on votes like this. It's been very difficult, I think, to have what I would call a rational, fact-based debates around these things.
Is that this particular mayor, or is that a historic thing in St. Louis?
I think it's this mayor in particular, but I think that's usually the case.
Okay.
Anyway, I think what the public doesn't see is, like, in that Thursday meeting, people are being lobbied throughout the entire meeting. Like, there's people out in the hall. There are arms are being twisted. Like, they're trying to get this done.
Who's doing the lobbying, if I may ask?
There's a bunch of people. Many names you would recognize, but there's a bunch of people. But aside from that, what do I think is the mood at the Board of Aldermen? I mean, I think it depends on who you talk to, but I think more and more people are thinking a little harder about what really are the core functions that our local government needs to do, the core services we need to provide, and where we're actually falling short in doing those things. The cracks, I think, are more and more obvious. I think residents are seeing services that are we're not meeting their standards on. And I think a lot of people are a little bit worried about, you know, how do we make sure we can do this over the long haul? St. Louis has lost, we have a tax base of 315,000 people, and we're paying for a city that has the infrastructure for 700,000 or 800,000 people. And that is very difficult to do. So the margins are very, very slim. And I think I think there are a lot of aldermen right now very concerned about crime and the devastating level of violence that continues to happen in St. Louis. And there are a lot of aldermen who would like a lot more focus from City Hall, more time spent on that issue, more ideas generated, more human capital. You know, the smart people we have in local government, they want their time dedicated to trying to reduce really the devastating impact that violent crime is having, excuse me.
And that's programs, or is that just adding more police? Because that's a tough thing to get a handle on.
It is, but I think it's a little bit of everything. And I think that what we've seen the last 4 to 5 years is a lot of people pretending that the problem was not as bad as it is. And I think you need to have people at the top recognize there's a huge problem, admit there's a problem, and then I think that changes the dynamic of how people approach these things. If, you know, I know people can't see this from the outside, but I'm at City Hall every day, and I see a lot of people's time not dedicated to these things. I see when we have a, you know, one of these go left, go right, make a decision moments, a lot of those decisions are not made in the direction of more funding to crime prevention, more funding to police, more funding for technology that helps prevent crime, more funding to make sure we can catch and prosecute people who are committing violent crimes. So, you know, while the mayor's office will tell you, look, we spend more money on public safety than anything else, and that's absolutely true, we're just doing maintenance, is what I would say. We're not actually improving the situation. And when you've spent, it's very obvious to all of us, the last 2 years, we've not had enough police officers. There's too much turnover within the police department. Mm-hmm. Their salaries really are not quite competitive enough with other salaries around the region. It's difficult to recruit. And so we're not even, you know, we're playing with one man down, to use a soccer metaphor. We've got 10 guys on the field when we need 11 players on the field. And I think people want to see the focus shifted to, let's get back up to full strength so we can do what we need to do to make St. Louis a safer place to live.
Scott Ogilvie, our guest, the alderman of the 24th Ward, kind enough to join us here in studio. We do have a changing of the guard at City Hall coming up with this mayoral election. Have you gotten a chance to get a feel for who you think is in the best interests of the city going forward?
Now, that's a whole other topic, isn't it?
Anytime I ask you guys about that, I feel like I'm asking like this huge question. I'm just curious who you like. I asked Christine Ingrassi about that, and I'm like, oh my God, I upset her.
Maybe so there's arms being twisted.
I guess so. Yes.
That front
so
too.
There are a few people in this race who I think are equipped to do the job. Not everybody, but a few. So. I'm hopeful that one of those people
intentionally
wins.
Vague. any names that you would put under that umbrella, sir?
These are all very different people, but I think the people who are most up for the job mm-hmm. are Lyda Crewson, Antonio French, and Tashara Jones.
Okay.
They're all serious candidates, and I believe one of those three people will win.
How come you didn't run?
I'm a very regular guy, and I had a baby last year, and my wife opened a business, and taking on the challenge of running for mayor, I think was one too many things for my family.
When you posted the and we read a part of what you posted. By the way, it's ward24stl.com, 24stl.com. Posted that Steve Conway tried to delay this to the point that you or Antonio French, and then you gave another name, Chris Carter. All have small children. He wanted to delay until one of us was forced to leave the room and he could pass the bill 4-3. Some people texted in or said that, you know, if you can't have somebody pick up your kids, that strikes as an odd way for city business to get done or not get done. Your response to that criticism?
Well, I would respectfully disagree. I mean, we were all there. The meeting went in excess of 6 hours. We could have voted on this at any time mm-hmm. during that 6-hour meeting. And in fact, Conway made a motion to vote and everybody was in the room and he did not have the votes. So he withdrew the motion.
So you really truly believe or know that he miscalculated how many people were in there in the vote and that's why he delayed it?
Yeah. So, you got to kind of be in the room to understand the dynamic. But Conway wanted the bill to pass on Thursday. It didn't have the votes. So it went on and on and on. And I think he was hoping that one of the no votes would, I mean, we don't even have to go pick up our kid. We can just be in the bathroom. I mean, this has happened to me before where a vote happens. I'm in the bathroom. I come back and, oh, everybody voted, you know. So,
sometimes they stay right there in the Board of Aldermen and go to the bathroom.
Not lately.
Yeah, that was 16
thank,
years
thank
ago.
Thank God, yeah.
You're not painting a pretty picture of that,
yeah,
honestly.
I mean, what in the hell?
That seems like shady, shady stuff.
Right. So nothing shady ended up happening on Thursday. But, yeah, you don't win a vote by delaying and delaying and delaying until somebody needs to go, you know, take their diabetes medicine. You call the vote, you know, everybody's in the room, you know what the breakdown is, have the vote or don't have the vote, but don't, you know, don't game the system, you know, to force somebody to leave to then, you know, pass a bill.
So. I feel like it's rather obvious at this point, but perhaps my read is off. You're an advocate of unification between the city and county. Is that correct?
Oh, not? Yeah, absolutely. It's a big ask, and you know, it's unfortunate. I think it would have been very productive 2 years ago instead of all the focus being on how do we build these stadiums. Mm-hmm. I think we'd be in a much better place if politically we'd said, how do we build? We don't have to do a full unification to solve this problem. You know, how do we build a regional system that just funds and maintains our sports facilities? Because these things are clearly regional amenities. They're not just amenities that are the city's responsibility. If people think these are very important things that the region has and maintains, let's just build a regional system that does it. It takes probably state government to say, you can do that, you can work together. But they've done that in the past. We have that arrangement for the Dome, at least until a few more years and then it ends. We have that arrangement for MSD. We have that arrangement for Great Rivers Greenway Trail District. We have that arrangement for the Zoo Museum District. We have that arrangement for the Metro Bus and Metrolink system. We can create regional entities that just work on these specific items. Mm-hmm. That there's not the political danger of going to a full unification. So I am a big proponent. It's a heavy lift to do a full unification, but until we do that, we should still create more regional structures where the city and county can work together to jointly fund the things people want.
Scott Ogilvie, the 24th Ward Alderman, kind enough to join us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and really appreciate you coming in studio, man.
My pleasure. I sound a lot better on the microphone than my crummy cell phone. So thanks for the invitation, guys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to discussing. You've heard from Dave Peacock this morning on the show. You've heard from Scott Ogilvie. What is your opinion? 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK, the appliance discounter phone line. Send your emails in the morning after at insidestl.com. We'll take a break. Come back with more. Ryan Kelly Morning After.